You've heard it said, or maybe even used the expression that there's a payday that's coming. There's judgment, and that we're going to answer for what it is that we're going to do in this body while we're here. And this is true. Now, today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look in God's Word as we continue our series that I titled The Hope of His Return, Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. I hope that you'll stay with us and join us. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Revelation, chapter 20, particularly verses 11 through 15. Grab that Bible. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, we want to welcome you back to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're taking the time to join us today as we once again take a look into God's Word. And today we want to look at the Judgment Day, specifically out of the text of Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Now, as we opened up, one of the things that I mentioned was that we have either probably used or heard that expression that there's a judgment day coming. Now, often people will use that when maybe they think that we have done something that we shouldn't have done or against them. And essentially what they're saying is that there is going to be a day when you will answer for the things that you have done. And this is true, specifically, you know, according to God's Word. Now, I do want to mention that as we begin this particular segment, up until probably even the early 20th century, as when it comes down to a resurrection, all right, there was a general resurrection or a general judgment that was taught, meaning that the believers as well as the non-believers would all be at that judgment. But later on, there's also another school of thought, another theological position that says that these judgments are going to be two different judgments. The judgments of the unbelievers and then the judgment of the believers will be separate. Now, I'll show you a little bit of essentially backup for those and let you work this out with the Lord into which way that you consider it. But at any rate, we're going to look today in God's Word, and I've titled our Bible study today as Judgment Day, and we're going to be looking into the book of Revelation to explore the implications of the second coming of Christ in relation to judgment and the eternal destiny of all humanity. Now, I want to also preface this by stating that even several weeks ago, as we got into this particular study, we were talking about very often, you know, the Christians will talk about the second coming. Now, most often when we're talking about that, what we're referring to is the rapture, when the trumpet sounds, time is no more, God that says the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who are left will be caught up together to meet him in the air. That's generally what we're thinking about. But when we talk about the second coming proper, that, once again, does not begin until after the seven-year tribulation period when the Lord actually returns and puts foot on this earth. So remember, the tribulation, the Lord doesn't actually set foot on this earth. He calls us out to be with him. You've got the seven-year tribulation, that's the rapture, then the seven-year tribulation, then we will come back with him and he will actually set foot on earth. So the second coming proper really is what will be the start of the millennial reign. So, yeah, just want us to get that clear in our heads. Now, when somebody comes up to me and say, boy, I'll tell you one thing, I'm sure I'm looking for the second coming, I know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about the rapture, and we don't want to sit here and split hairs over that, but I did want to bring that up to you. So let's go ahead and look at God's Word today. Revelation chapter 20, we're going to specifically deal with verses 11 through 15 that say this. It says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose faith the face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up their dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Would you pray with me? Our Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and lives, Lord, that your word would spring forth a new hope and life within us. Lord, I pray that as we consider your word today, that your Holy Spirit would move freely in our lives, speaking to us and drawing us close to you. Lord, we also pray that if there's something that the Holy Spirit points out by way of adjustments that need to be made in our lives, that you would give us the courage to be able to do that. But above all things, Lord, draw us close today, and we're just going to be grateful for you doing that. Thank you for the promise that you say that if we come seeking a blessing in your word, we will receive it. And Lord, today, I just ask that you would speak to each and every heart of each and every listener. Use me, Father, as your messenger for these moments. Help me lift you up that you might truly draw all people unto you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so when we begin to look at the book of Revelation, a lot of times this is sometimes it's a scary book for Bible teachers and preachers, but it's also one of the books that most people want to know more about. Part of the reason why is because they've read it and there's parts of it that they get and understand. There's parts of it that, may be confusing to them, but this is a prophetic book. It was written by John while he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And like I said a moment ago, it's a prophetic book. And it reveals the ultimate victory of Christ as well as the final judgment of all humanity. So that kind of lays out where we are when we get to this particular book of Revelation. Now, in this particular passage that we're dealing with today, John describes a vision of the final judgment day where all of the dead, both small and great, stand before God to be judged according to their works. Now, again, here's where sometimes some friction comes in. I mentioned to you before that in the earlier days, there was taught that there was a general judgment, that all the people were there, both the saved and the unsaved, and they were judged at that particular point. And if you conjure it up in your mind, it's like, you know, people would sit back and say the sheep and the goats were separated. So, I mean, there's some good theology to that. But there's also come a theological viewpoint, which also has merit in our day and age today, that there are two separate judgments. Now, the judgment of the unbelievers would be this judgment that we're talking about. And I want to point to some of those things in just a moment. But the unbelievers' judgment is what would be called, or what is referred to as, the great white throne of judgment. Whereas the judgment for the believers is actually labeled the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. Now, one of the major differences between those two, and regardless of which stand you hold in that, here's the bottom line. Believers are not going to be judged for their eternal destination. Why would a believer not be judged for their eternal destination? Because they've already set that. When a believer trusted Christ, heaven is theirs, plain and simple. So when you stand before the Lord in judgment as a believer, you're not going to be judged for whether or not you're saved, or whether or not you're going to heaven, or whether or not you're going to hell. You will be judged there for your works. You know, whereas in this particular judgment, as modern theology would post it, you're looking at what they call the great white throne of judgment, and that would be where the unbelievers would stand, and where they would not only be judged for their works, but they would be judged and found lacking when it comes to salvation. And we'll look at a few of those things here in just a minute, but we just need to understand that in the context of our Bible study today, John is describing a vision of the final judgment day where the dead, both small and great, stand before God to be judged according to their works. That's what the scripture says here. Now, it says that the books are opened, containing a record of every person's deeds. Now you can kind of get where I was going with my statement when I opened up our Bible study. You know, when people say there's going to be a reckoning day, or there's going to be a payday, or what goes around comes, whatever you want to say. The bottom line is this, folks, that according to the word, regardless of how you believe, whether it's a general judgment or whether it's a split judgment, here's one of the things you understand. Everybody has a record of what's going on in their life, the things that you are doing. So the books that are in heaven are opened up containing a record of every person's deeds, the things that you do, the things that you have done. Now, for some people, that's a pretty scary thought. You're sitting there going, oh, man, somebody is taking notes. Yep, there's the secretary of your soul, as it were, is taking notes on all these things that you've done. And those are the good things as well as the bad things. Now, it goes on in our text for today, and it says this. It basically says that those whose names are not found in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. Now, it's telling you that the books are open that have this record of everything that man has done. But then he goes on and it says, and the book of life would be open. Why would the book of life would be open? Well, first off, you have to understand what the book of life is. Now, I pray that a lot of you that are watching or listening to this broadcast understand that in the book of life, it contains the name of every saved individual. So if you're a born again believer, your name is written in what is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if you're not saved, then your name is essentially not going to be found in that book. Now, I want to pause and introduce or interject a caveat right here, because people would sit back and say, well, if you believe that there was a differential judgment between the saved and the unsaved, then why would the book of life be open? Particularly, we're talking about in this passage, the great white throne of judgment, which by the newer theology would say that those would be people who aren't going to heaven. The great white throne of judgment would be the unbeliever. So why would you open up a book of life which would contain the names of every saved individual? Well, I believe with all of my heart that the Lord always puts in situations where we can understand that we will stand without blame. You're not going to be able to stand before God someday and say, well, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Or I would have done this, or I would have done. No, I believe that if it's at an unbeliever's judgment and the book of life is open, I believe that God is going to be faithful and just enough to say, I want you to know that I had room for you. I usually liken it to on a letter. You know, if you get a business letter or something, at the bottom of that business letter, you know, there's usually a line, and underneath it is a typed name of who the person is. And then right above it is the signature where you sign it. Now, the typed name is there because very often you might not be able to read the signature, okay? But I believe with all of my heart that the Lord in the book of life, and this is just my mindset, my way of thinking, I believe that he has of every person ever born or ever will be born, he has the typed name and the line in the book of life, and that when a person receives Christ, then the signature is written on it. And I believe that signature is in blood because it was purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So I think that the Lord will stand as he stands before his people in judgment, and he'll say, you know, Mr. So-and-so, I just want you to know, I had room in this book for you. There was room in the kingdom of heaven for you. Right here is where your name was written down before the foundations of the earth. But you'll notice the signature is not there. You never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And because of that, you will spend eternity in hell. So the names of those not found in the book of life will be those that will suffer an eternity in hell. And they're cast into what the word calls the lake of fire. And this is very symbolic of eternal separation from God. You know, I love even in the parable, or I call it the story of the rich man and Lazarus, where it says that the rich man, when he was in hell, lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. And he said to him, he said, I'm tormented in this place. He said, send Lazarus that he might just dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue because I'm tormented here. And the word went out that there's a great chasm between us and them. And those who would want to come from heaven to here cannot. Those that would want to go from here to there cannot. So that's your eternal destination, all right? Now, so you know, when we look at this, the second coming is going to bring about a final judgment where every person will be held accountable for their actions and their eternal destiny determined. Now, I got to be careful how I say that. So let me back up and explain what I'm talking about there. Just remember, every person is accountable for your actions. We live in a day and age where we want to blame everybody. I've said we live in the most perfect age in the world. Nobody ever does anything wrong. It's always somebody else's fault that this took place. You know, you go to them and you're like, hey, what's the deal here? I mean, if you're at work and you're a supervisor, you understand that because you've heard it. Yeah, you know, you come in and some like, well, hey, why didn't this get done? Well, it would have if Johnny over there, you know, would have done his part. And you hear it all the time. But when it comes down to what we do, we're going to stand in the face of our Lord. He knows everything that's going on, and we're going to be held accountable for our actions and for the eternal destination. Now, let me back up because I said for eternal destination to be determined. If you hold to the theological viewpoint that the judgment seat of Christ, a judgment for the believers, is separate than the great white throne of judgment, which is the judgment of the unbelievers. I mentioned earlier, you have to say that when the believers appear at the judgment seat of Christ, they're not going to be judged for their eternal destination because that was already set when they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, if you look at it from that perspective and you look at the great white throne of judgment, it has already been determined where their eternal destination is going to be. And the Lord will show them by opening the book of life that took place because of their choice. And people would say, well, I didn't make a choice to do that. No, listen, not making a choice is making a choice. You either choose to follow Jesus and you choose to believe in him or you don't. He doesn't force his way into your life. He knocks on your heart's door and it's up to you to open it. But there are going to be consequences. Hear me good. In 2026, it seems like there are no consequences for what takes place. When it comes down to eternal life and when it comes to spiritual things, there are consequences not only for concerning your destiny, but also consequences concerning how we function in our everyday life because we're going to answer for that, okay? So as we pick this apart a little bit, there's a couple of things that we see in our scripture text. You know, the great white throne symbolizes the purity and the authority of God's judgment. He alone has the right to judge. Yeah, I love the passages, and we quote them a lot, but do we really believe them? Because listen, folks, we are very judgmental people, particularly towards each other. You get into a group of Christian people, yeah, they can be hardcore judgmental, and they'll look at something, and we do it. Listen, all of us will look at somebody before we even know who they are, and we will make a judgment. We will determine in the first few seconds how we feel about that person. Or how, now, it may change once we get to talk to them and get to know them, but we automatically make a snap judgment when we see somebody, okay? So God is the only one who has the right and the power and the authority to judge. In fact, in the New Testament, he tells us that as believers, we are not to judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Now, he also goes on in that scripture to say this. He says, if you're going to use a hardcore standard of judgment against your brother, he said, if it's good enough for you to use against your brother, then I guess it's good enough for me to use against you. Now, I don't know about you in your life, but me in my life, I need all the help I can get when it comes to the Father showing grace, okay? So let's not only forgive as we have been forgiven, but let's show grace to those around us as God has shown us grace, okay? So our scripture text today also talks about the opening of the books. Now, that symbolizes a very thorough examination of every person's life. Now, to bring this home, if I were to ask you the question, if you had to stand before God Almighty before the end of this very, very day, how would you feel about the record that has been kept on you? Would you feel pretty good about it? Or would you sit back and say, you know, I really would hope somebody would hide that book before I got there? So the opening of the books symbolizes that there is going to be a thorough examination. There is going to be a day for you to answer for all the things that you've done. And that's in every person's life. Okay. Now, the book of life, we mentioned it a moment ago, that represents those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and have their names that are written in it. Now, just once again, depending on which theological viewpoint on the judgments that you take, whether they're together or whether they're separate, you have to understand that there is, good theological stances on both sides of that, all right? If people would always say, well, if the book of life was going to be open, why would the book of life be open if it was a non-believer's judgment? And I still believe that so the Lord could say, look, I had room for you right here. I knew your name from the foundations of the earth, but yet you chose to reject me. And choosing to reject me, you chose the ultimate destination of eternity and all of hell. Folks, listen, that as harsh as that sounds, that is real. Yeah, if you're either going to trust Christ and you're going to spend eternity in heaven, or you're going to reject him and you're going to spend all of eternity suffering and torment in that place called hell. And you don't have to. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Would you trust him today? And by the way, this is not just something. It's not about how good you are. It's not how much you go to church. It's not how much you give. It's not about what you do. It's about who you know. After you get to know him, then it starts becoming a little bit more about what you do. Now, you also have to remember this. When I'm talking about what you do, you are not saved. You're not saved by your works. We are saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so I want you to know that. You're saved by grace, not your works. Okay, so Book of Life, that represents those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and have their names in it. That's who's in that book, all right? We also read in today's text about the lake of fire. Now, that symbolizes the eternal punishment for those who have rejected God and his salvation. And for some odd reason, people just kind of go around thinking, well, if I just don't think about it, that means it doesn't exist. That's not true. Listen, the modern day mindsets in 2026 of if I just look the other way and it disappears is not true. It never has been. Someday you are going to look our Savior face to face and you're going to answer. Bottom line, how will you answer? Now I hear the smart alecks all the time that will sit back and say, oh, just tell it like it is. Okay, well, no you won't, because the Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow, including theirs, and one day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the baddest and the meanest of anybody out there, when it comes down to it, one day their knee will bow and their tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why not do it voluntarily, okay? So, as we consider our text for today, as believers, we must live our lives in a manner that reflects our faith in Christ, knowing that we will one day give an account for our actions. You're going to be held accountable for it. Man, in this day and age, for some odd reason, there's no accountability for what people do. People talk about crime. They talk about the criminal justice system, and they say, well, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Well, there you have it. Think about it for a moment. You see people that just, they might get a slap on the wrist for what they do, and then they just walk away, and all is right with the world. But know this, that one day we will give an account. It's not going to be to a governmental system. It's not going to be to your local judges or anybody else. It is going to be to God Almighty as to whether or not you trusted his son and what you did with your life as you lived it out here on earth. Okay, we must also share the message of salvation with others so that we will, so that they'll have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Think about it. Your family members, people that you know, people that you love, do you love them enough that you want to see them trust Christ and you want their names to be written in the Book of Life? If you love them enough, then ask yourself the question, have I been a good example for them? Have I told them? Have I shared Jesus Christ with them? Have I told them that someday this judgment's coming? And I want to see them hear the word, or I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want to see the Lord tell my buddies that, my family members that as well. Are they really important enough to you that you will risk saying, hey, let me tell you about Jesus that you might have eternal life in heaven? I hope and pray that they are. That's what we should do. That's what we should be. So the judgment day that we see described in Revelation chapter 20 in verses 11 through 15, that serves as a very sobering reminder of the reality of God's justice and the importance of living a life that honors Him. Yeah, how about us striving to live in a way that pleases God and share His message of salvation with other people so that they may escape the eternal judgment that awaits those who reject Him? Could you do that? I hope and pray that you will. Listen, let me have a closing word of prayer with you, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we're going to be looking at for this week and as we head in to next week. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you today, we want to thank you for your mercy. We want to thank you for your grace. Father, we pray that you will help us to live our lives in a way that honors you. And Lord, help us as we share your message of salvation with those that are around us. Lord, may we be found faithful on the day of judgment and have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we know that for sure. But Lord, I pray that you will lead us and guide us and help us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking this time to join us. I want to tell you what each week, if you're new to our broadcast, each week I try to give you a little passage of scripture to work your way through for the week or to study upon. And it's generally the passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at in the Wednesday Bible study of the following week. Now, like I say, we're in the middle of a series right now, or maybe a little more than halfway through it. But the series that I titled it, The Hope of His Return, Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. And next Wednesday, we'll be looking at our fifth message in the series. And that fifth message is the restoration of all things. And we're going to be specifically looking at the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verses 19 through 21. So this week, I want you to spend some time in Acts chapter 3. Study those passages, particularly verses 19 through 21. And what we're going to do is we want to, next week, highlight the promise of restoration and renewal that accompanies Christ's return. And I hope and pray that you will join us for that. Now, as always, you know, we want to invite you, if you don't have a church home or if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you come by and visit with us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. You'll also notice that throughout this broadcast, our website is up there. You can get more information about us. You can get contact information, but we would certainly love to see you and have you join us as we worship our Lord in spirit and truth. Our service time starts at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. We do have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, small groups, and then our children's ministry during the school year. We would certainly love to see you. So come on down. I hope and pray I'll see you Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.